Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm James.
And welcome to the Cornwall Property Podcast, where every week we bring you the latest news, hot topics and guidance around the Cornwall property market.
Stay tuned to be informed, inspired and to have any of your property related questions answered by trusted local property professionals.
Episode 6, here we are.
Here we are once again. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming back, listeners. And so, yeah, Dan here.
James here.
And our mission is to help educate, inspire, inform you all about property with a particular emphasis on the Cornish property market. And we're looking to try and tackle and help tackle this Cornish housing crisis, which is going on in the county. So this episode is called Ask Dan and James. James, what's it all about?
This is the fun part. Well, I say fun, they're all quite fun, but I quite like it where we get the interaction with our listeners. So this is your turn as our listeners to put in your questions to Dan and myself so that we can hopefully, give our opinion and discuss your questions. So without further ado, we've got the lovely Matt from Weybridge this week, and he's asked a great question, which is, I want to buy a home, but I'm scared of a property crash, aren't we all? And what would you do? So elaborating a bit more on that, Matt is looking for advice on purchasing his own residential property and possibly getting a lodger to live with him. Good idea to share the rent there. He can afford a two-bedroom terraced house. However, he keeps waiting for prices to drop or for there to be some form of a crash. But since this is going to be his residential property, should he care as much? He wants to know if he should just go with it for now, but is concerned that as soon as he does, there will be a crash. What advice would you give Dan? Good question, actually.
I'm sure that's a question that everyone wants to know an answer to as well. And again, we're kind of no mystic Megs over here, but the beauty is, if I tackle this question in two parts, if we look at property as a general vehicle, and then we look at your own residential. So property, the reason we love property, James, we mentioned it previously, is because in essence, if you're in it for the long game, you can't lose. You can't really lose.
No.
By right, and as long as you're in it for the long term, property year on year goes up in value. Now, if you look back in the data of property, last 100 years, for example, every 18 years, you see there's a general cycle that just repeats, repeats, repeats. And that cycle is that property year on year will go up in value. 1, 2, 3, 5% a year, perhaps. Now, generally within that 18 years, there's one crash. And that crash could be a drop. So, for example, the last crash we had was back in 2008. Now, if you were to purchase a property, say, in 05, 06, 07, then unless it was very late on in 07, you couldn't have really lost still after the crash. Because if you look at it and you're buying property in 05, goes up 5%, 06 goes up 5% in value, and then even if it kind of stagnated a little bit in 07, you've added some value there just from purchasing when you did. So the earlier you can get into the market, the great, because you're already starting to ride that increase in value. When it did get the crash, for example, if you're making 5% a year for five years, but then when it crashes, for example, in 08, when it generally on average it went down 15% in value, well, you're still not lost out. Although it's gone down 15% from the date it went, the crash happened, well, you've still got 5 years of 5% built up. So you still haven't really lost from the day you've entered the market, which is why we love property. So as long as you're in it for the long game there, I think that's a key. You can't lose out. Just get in that market. Now, when you start looking at, again, this is another podcast we can do, James, and go in a little bit more detail, no doubt. But when you start looking at these 18-year property cycles, what you find is before the crash happens, there's generally a big peak. It goes up in value quite staggeringly, but that rise in value stays for quite some time. It sits there for quite a little bit of time until over the years, the 18 years, there's always something, not always the same thing, same recession or same something that maybe the pandemic people thought was going to be one, which is why the property kind of fell on its bum a bit last year, and now it's kind of peaking again. But there's always something that makes that crash happen and triggers that crash. So essentially, you've got to get in there. I personally feel, obviously, completely appreciate some might be nervous, but if you do your homework, do your research, look at the data and the statistics, look at the numbers. You can't go wrong with the numbers. Now, not saying every 18 year, on the 18th year, it was going to crash. No, it's an average. So some years it might be 20, some years it might be 15, but on average, an 18-year property cycle. So with that in mind, Matt, hopefully that gives a little bit more confidence in property. So as long as you're looking to hold on to this for the long term, then I don't think you can lose. James, do you agree on that bit?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as you've already said, Dan, like, property is for the long-term game. And as I've talked about in other podcasts, it's a lot like the restaurant industry. People are always going to need to eat, and people with property are always going to need somewhere to sleep and live. But I think you've got the property cycle that's going on year after year. But what we do need to also look at is like the external constraints as well, because sometimes there are, I think it's a good idea to keep looking at the news and seeing what's happening in the areas where you're thinking about investing. So for example, Matt, I had a property that I bought in Reading about 8 years ago. And at the time, it was probably mid-cycle of the property cycle, if you like. So it wasn't at the bottom, it wasn't at the top. But I didn't know this was coming, but basically Reading got announced that it was going to be the end of the Elizabeth line, which is the new train line that's going in straight to the heart of Liverpool Street in London. And that was a game changer. It went, property prices literally went up overnight. However, I did hear a couple of months before that Reading was a contender to be on that Elizabeth line. It was actually going to be between Maidenhead, Guildford or Reading, and we actually won the tender. But if you keep your eyes and ears to the news as well and hear about things like that, of what might push property prices up, that might give you a bit more confidence in your investment, I would say.
Yeah, no, very good point. And another thing, and then if I were to tackle the second part, if we went and looked at that, obviously whether in a residential, generally think people get a bit more ballsy with a residential because, definitely, again, it's their own home. It's a bit more emotion involved there. So with that in mind, obviously you mentioned, Matt, in your question that you were looking at the option of maybe to get a lodger to help with the bills, which is great. And another thing to bear in mind is obviously with lenders, James, isn't it? You've got to be wary of the type of mortgage that you're on and make sure that there is consent.
Absolutely. It's not to be completely put off, but just read the terms and conditions, or, you know, ask that question to the lender. Is it okay for me to have a lodger? And just make sure you're playing by the rules. It's where we say always, you know, seek professional advice. But quite simply, just phone up the lender and say, hey, this is my plan. Is that okay?
And I think the only time I would say, Matt, just hold off a minute, is if you're going to be purchasing this property, Matt, and you're thinking, I don't want it, I'm not going to be in here for a long term. Maybe long term, by long term, I'm thinking more than, it needs to be more than 2-3 years, perhaps. If you're not going to be staying in this property for more than 2 years, that is when maybe you want to be a bit more wary and maybe rent. It might be safer to rent for the time being if you're not sure where you want to be. Because as I say, property is a long-term game because you're not going to get that peak. And if there was a crash, then you might lose out. So as long as you're in it for 4, 5, 6 years even, you're not going to lose, even if there was a crash in before that. As I mentioned, you could go up 5% a year, but that crash could go down 10, 15%. But as long as you've got in that market, you're going to be back on. Because as soon as that 08 crash happened, come 09 and back to 2010, you're back to where you were in the first place. So although there was a crash, as long as you rode it out and managed to get through with cash flow, you're then back with your property values will eventually get back up to where they were. So Matt, if you're going to look to stay at this property, this home that you do purchase for more than 2-3 years, yeah, crack on. If not, I think maybe it might be a good option to rent for sure.
I agree.
Brilliant. So that's question one. Then question two, I'm going to fire at you, James. In question two, I've got it here. It's from Helen in Lou. And Helen's asked, interestingly, should I refinance my own property to pull out money so that you can buy an investment property? What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, thank you for that, Dan, and thank you, Helen. It's a really good question, and it is one that crops up from a lot of people. Now, I must stress, there is no right or wrong answer here. I don't want to say pull out the money, you know, because there may be other ways. But if we, you know, break this down a little bit, so you're looking to get that money so you can buy a second property, which is great. You know, you're using that entrepreneurial spirit to, you know, get yourself another property where you can hopefully make some money, which will be great. But you've also got to sort of look at, you know, do you need to refinance your own property? It's a natural place to go because you might have equity built up, but you may have savings. If you've got savings, then, you know, can you use those if you're lucky enough to have savings? The other way that you would go is maybe to go off and find investors. But if you go and do that, one, you've got to find that investor, which can be quite tricky, not impossible, as we all know, but you've got to go off and find that investor, and you're going to be paying quite a high rate of return borrowing from that investor. So I would say if you've definitely got your heart set on buying a second property, and well done you if it is, I think you should definitely look at the idea of, you know, if you've got enough equity there, then that's the most natural place and easiest way. And the rates are going to be the best as well, because you're just going to add that onto the mortgage that you've currently got. And as we've discussed, you know, in previous podcasts, there's some amazing rates out there at the moment. Just be cautious that, remember, when we're borrowing from the banks, especially if it's on your residential mortgage, where you're going to, you know, add a bit more on to pull the equity out, they will look at, on average, 4.5 times of your earnings. So they've got to make sure that all the stress tests match up. But I think, you know, speak to your mortgage company, tell them, you know, what you're doing. At the end of the day, the mortgage company is in the lending game. That's what they do. And if they can lend you more money, they're going to be happy bunnies. But, you know, lending, you've got some great rates, but it's a lot stricter than what it used to be years ago. But I think that's a really good way to go for it. So work out how much equity that you've got in your property alongside how much you actually need, and maybe start, you know, doing the figures on some potential investment properties that you might want to invest in. What's your thoughts, Dan, on that?
Yeah, for sure, I agree. And it all comes down to your appetite, really. What's your appetite of risk? Now, again, I suppose you could link that into Matt's question. Oh, is it going to be a crash? If I take equity out, then my loan to value is going to be different. I think, again, it's a long-term game. Residential, you've got a lot of emotion in your residential property.
Big time.
But at the same time, if there's equity in there and it could save you quite a lot and get you more income from making a residential, an investment purchase by pulling out some of your own cash, then what's your cash doing in there? Your cash isn't really going to be making you any money in that instance. If you were to take, say, 30-40k out of yours, if you could, then put that 30-40k down as a deposit for a buy to let, then that 30-40k is just going to go up in value in the buy to let, plus bringing you a bit of cash flow coming in. You wouldn't be getting that from your own house if it just sat there. So these are little things to weigh up. But I think the best thing, as you rightly said, James, is get some professional advice, sit down, do the numbers. If I took 10K out, if I took 20 out, 38, what would my interest rate, what would my repayments then be? Can I justify it? And is it worth it?
Absolutely. The other thing I would say as well, Helen, is that just remember you're based in Loo, and Cornwall, as we all know, has seen a massive increase in housing prices since the pandemic. A lot of people wanting to move down here from up country. So now maybe is a good time to refinance, because Cornwall is at, I personally think from an overview, that we're at the peak of the market at the moment. I don't think it's going to climb too much more, if at all, but it's going to hold itself for a little bit longer before we see any form of dip, just because there's so much demand versus stimulus and what supply there is. So if you are going to refinance, maybe now is a good time, because you're going to get the highest valuation for your property to get that money out, if that makes sense, and the best rates. Absolutely. So you've got a nice bit of formula there if you are lucky enough to have that equity that you can pull out to pump into an investment property. So yeah, well done you.
Yeah, if that is an option. But again, always seek professional advice before making these decisions. But that brings us to a close on this week's episode. So thank you very much for listening in. And if you'd like to get your questions into James and myself, then please get in touch. You can do that via email, hello@cornwallpropertypodcast.com. Or James, you can go by the website.
Yep, you can do indeed. Cornwallpropertypodcast.com.
Brilliant. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and there's a little message section. Just chuck your message in there. And finally, the other option is to contact us via our social media Facebook page. Again, Cornwall Property Podcast Facebook page. Send us a message via there and we can get you on in the next week's episode. So thank you again for your time and listening. And that's a bye from me.
That's bye from me. Bye-bye now.